Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 7. And I need your attention right here on the screen. So let's go here on the screen. And I've entitled this evening's message, Our Future is Brighter with Jesus. Our future is brighter with Jesus. Praise God. Are you there at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7? And the Word of God reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been what? Grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed before the foundation of the world that God chose you and I? That God has a mighty plan? Praise God. But I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that we are in a world of turmoil. Back in the book of Acts, the Word of God said that we are to save ourselves from this untoward and perverse generation. And in this perversion and in this generation, there's also people that are going through serious trials in their life. Not only what we see, but what also comes upon us. And so, my friends, take a look at this. Throughout the world, people are hurting. How many of you know right now people that are hurting? Oh, that's right. There's a whole lot of people hurting in life right now. And saints, the reasons vary. But many of us ask the same question. And one of those questions we're going to ask tonight is this, right up here on your screen. Where's God in all this? You ever ask that to yourselves? Where's God in all this? Well, with difficulties and heartaches are overwhelming, we often struggle, saints of God, to make sense of the situation. And when we don't know why the Lord is letting this happen or how we should respond, many of us, saints of God, remain trapped in our misery. But Peter the Apostle, he wrote 1 Peter, 2 Peter. He wrote letters. And what he wrote this letter to a group of Christians who were in the same kind of situation that we see today. Now, let's look at this for a moment on the Word of God on the screen right here. Look at this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, he wrote this as an encouragement to an inheritance. What? We are going to inherit an incorruptible body that will not be undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This is the new body. Let me just pause there. God has promised you a brand new body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose on the third day, God gave him a brand new body, a body that would never perish, a body that could appear and disappear. Praise God. A body that will live forever. A body that will no longer have diseases. Diabetes will be gone. Cancer will be gone. Leukemia will be gone. All these things, hallelujah. God is going to give us a brand new body. Let's go back to what God's word says here. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Look at this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise God. You and I. This has been revealed. For me, it's been almost 32 years that this was revealed. I got saved at the age of 30. Praise God. And so, saints, Peter, he reminded them that they had an imperishable inheritance reserved in heaven. Furthermore, my friends, God was protecting them through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days, in the last time. Praise God. And my friends, although they could lose everything here on earth, they would never lose their salvation. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, that you don't have to worry about your salvation? The Bible says in the book of John, all that the Father gives to him, in no way he'll lose one. And in the last day, he'll raise us all up. Praise God. The Bible says that no one can snatch us out of his hand. We are eternally secured in Christ Jesus as a born-again believer, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit of God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You see, my friends, Peter advised them to rejoice in this promise, even though they were presently, what? Experiencing many, many trials. Many trials. Let's look at this for a moment, my friends. Although our pain and trouble may seem pointless to us, and many of it does at times, God has a divine purpose for everything He allows into our lives. How many of you right now can honestly say you're going through something right now? Listen, you may not be going through something right now, but tomorrow you may. Next week you may. Next month you may. That's right. We don't know, but the Bible is clear in the book of Job that a man born of a woman is but one day and full of trouble. Trouble will come. But let me just say this. God does it. Nothing takes God by surprise. Everything that comes to our life, He allows. And let me tell you, what is the purpose that He allows these things? Let's go to the book of Romans right here. Look at this. Paul wrote to in the book of Romans chapter 8. He wrote in verse 28 through 30, and we know, say that with me, and we know all things what? Work together for good to those who love God, to those who are what? Called. You and I are called, saints of God, according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He predestined, these also He called. Whom He called, these He justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Did you catch that, my friends? You and I have been called. And because we've been called, and because we have repented of our sins, and because we surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the heart of repentance took place, and then He applied the blood. And once His blood was applied to our life, hallelujah, thank you, God. Then He justified us. What does that mean? Just as if we never sinned. And then He glorified us, meaning He sees already in the future tense. You and I, we haven't seen our glorified state. But Jesus, who rose on the third day, He rose in His glorified state. And that's why He was able to be caught up and taken away as He elevated back into His Father's in heaven, to His Father's place. That's right. The Bible says He's now at the right hand of His Father. Praise God. And so, saints, because God is absolutely omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful, He could stop any hardship which comes our way. How many of you want hardship to stop right away? Well, He could stop it right then and there. But if he doesn't, we can know with certainty, my friends, that He has allowed it in order to accomplish his good purpose. Praise God. Praise God. I'd rather have him accomplish what he needs to accomplish in my life. Can I get an amen? Now, let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And the Word of God reads this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but share with me in his sufferings for the gospel according to the what? Power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given in Christ Jesus, what? Before time began. Wow. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? However, my friends, we don't usually understand what he's up to. And from our perspective, it just doesn't make any sense. And the pain we're experiencing drives us to simply want relief. Oh, I know, we want relief as soon as we go, owie, it hurts. Huh, we want relief right away. Well, my friends, we need to look at some principles. We need to understand why God allows these things to take place and how it's a brighter day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this for a moment. God uses what? Life's trials to accomplish his what? Secondary purposes. And we're going to look at this for a moment. We're going to look at the secondary purposes. And saints, although we may never know the specific reason for each difficulty in our lives, we can know the Lord's secondary purposes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's look at these principles for a moment. Let's look at this right now. Let's go here. Number one, it's to surface whatever is detrimental in our lives. Did you catch that? To surface whatever is detrimental in our lives. You see, saints of God, we may have beliefs, attitudes, or actions which are not only hurting us, but are also damaging our relationship with God and with many others. And since we're usually unaware of them, the Lord uses what? Pain to get our attention. So we'll what? We'll recognize and deal with them through the power of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? You see, God loves us too much to let us blindly continue down the destructive path. You see, my friends, his goal is to cleanse us by revealing our sin. Wow. And drawing you and I, us to confession, to repentance. You know, no better person than King David. We're going to look a little bit in the life of King David. Why? He understood repentance. He understood how to cry out to God. And one of the reasons that when I look into the scriptures regarding King David, God shouted from the mountaintop that he had a heart after God. And I truly believe the born again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, washed in the blood, he has all given us a heart after him. Praise God. And so, saints, King David, he brought on his own issues that God had to what? Expose, and gave him only two options. Either continue to live a life of rebellion towards God, or to turn to him in a repentant heart. Oh, yes. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look into the Word of God right here. Look what was written in Psalms 51, 1 through 4. And the Word of God says, this is King David, he had just committed a grievous sin. He committed an act of adultery. He actually took his general's wife. He sent his general to fight in the front lines, knowing that he would die. And he did that for a purpose, to go after his beautiful wife that he saw from his balcony. And after he committed the most grievous sin, a conviction fell upon him. Why? Because the prophet came and exposed his sin. And so he had no other choice but to cry out for mercy. And this is where Psalms 51 was written. It goes just like this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from what? My sin. Check that out. Look at this. For I acknowledge, Look at this. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Praise God, praise God. You see, King David understood. He understood that it was a sin before God. Yes, he sinned against his general, and he sinned against Bathsheba and many others, but his sin, he recognized, was against God. Now, look what it says here in let's go to verse 5 here. Look at this. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin, what? My mother conceived me. Behold, you desire what? Truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know to what? No wisdom. And so now he's crying out, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Here is the only way. It's the only fix to get right with God. There's really no other way. There's no other solution but to cry out to God. Look at this right here in the Word of God. Look at this. He goes on to further say, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face for my sins and blot out what? My iniquities. This is the key right here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right what? Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not what? Take your Holy Spirit away from me. Wow. Wow. See, that was a genuine cry to God. And God has given us the keys. He has given us the out. When we fail God and when we sin against God, that we would cry out like King David, praise God, no differently. And God would restore us. God would wash us. God would cleanse us. Hallelujah. God would forgive us. And then God would restore us. God would reconcile us back to Him. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God is for us? He's not against us. If God be for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? Greater is He that lives within us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Now, let's look at this scripture right here in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are of a what? A broken spirit and a what? And a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Wow. Did you catch that? That's the key. Come to God broken. Come to Him with a contrite heart, being in a repentant heart. That's when God will take heed. He will listen, and now He'll see that your sorrowfulness is sincere, and God will hear us. Can I get an amen? Let's go to our next point right here. Look at this. Number 2, to test our faith. How many of you have been tested in one way or another by God? You see, my friends, God uses life's trials to accomplish His secondary purposes. That's right. And so, saints, when we were saved, our faith was rather basic and childlike. We didn't know when we first got saved how much. We didn't know much, but we knew Jesus had died for us. You know, until we grow a little further, after we come along a little while, we start to understand more of God's grace and more wisdom. That's right. You see, saints of God, since our Heavenly Father considers faith more than precious than gold, He wants us to grow and trust in Him. Why? For more than our salvation. Yes, more. Look what it says right here in the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith, look at that, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. It's our faith in Christ, saints of God. You see, to understand how He tests our faith, let's compare it to like muscle strengthening. We begin by what? Lifting what? Small weights. I'm sure you're not going to lift 80-pound dumbbells. You're going to start out with 10 or 15 pounds. Can I get an amen? So we began by lifting small weights and gradually increased what? The difficulty by adding heavier ones. But in the same way, God grows our faith through situations that what? Increase the pressure and require a greater trust in the Lord Jesus. That's right. God wants us to trust Him in all that He does. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right here. For in it, in Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed what? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall what? Live by faith. It is faith. He's more interested in our faith, as we just mentioned, than fine gold. And so, saints of God, it's fairly easy to trust Him to heal a cold. But what happens when we face a serious illness, a financial crisis, unemployment, or the loss of a loved one? When we walk through each trial depending on the Lord, our faith, what? It increases, my friends. Then, when a harder challenge comes, we can remember how He led us previously and know He will lead us the rest of the way. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at our next principle right up here. Number three, it's to test our devotion to God. That's right. Our devotion to Him. Let me ask you, are you truly devoted to God? Or do you come to Him like when we were kids, we would make a list. And, you know, when we were kids, we were told that there was a Santa Claus. And then when Christmas time came around, we would give our parents a list. Well, He's not Santa Claus. He's our Lord and Savior. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Bishop and Lover of our souls. Hallelujah. He is the bright morning star. That's right. And He has saved you. He has saved me from the guttermost to the uttermost. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that God found us in a heap of rubble? I like to say it like this, that He found me in a dumpster underneath a rotten cantaloupe next to a rotten tortilla. He found me there. I don't know where He found you, but that's where He found me, praise God. And so, my friends, God uses life's trials, what? To accomplish His secondary purposes. That's right. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Saints, commitment to the Lord is revealed by our willingness to what? Obey Him. And when He gives us a challenging situation, which seems beyond your ability, my ability, we must choose whether to obey His will or go our own way. You see, my friends, He's given us His Holy Spirit. For what? To enable us and to strengthen us to accomplish whatever He's calling you and I to do, especially for such a time as this. Let's look at God's Word right here. Let's look at this. Philippians 4:13. Say this with me at home. I can do all things, what? Through Christ who, what? Strengthens me. Praise God. Now, let's go to this next verse of Scripture in Luke, found in Luke. Luke 22, 39 through 42. Look at this. God's Word says, coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives as He was accustomed, and His disciples also, what? Followed Him. And when He came to the place, He said to them, pray that you may not, what? Enter into temptation. Next verse of Scripture, and verse 41. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And He knelt down and He prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Praise God. It's all about the will of God. I preached that message Sunday morning, last Sunday, about being in God's will. Saints, the Apostle Paul, he was willing, what? To endure his thorn in the flesh because the Lord promised to, what? Strengthen him and to use it to produce the humility he needed for continued ministry. You got to remember, the Apostle Paul, he was the original Saul of Tarsus, the drive-by person. He was the drive-by guy. He would drive by and he would do house invasions. He would take Christians and lock them up and feed them to the lions in the gladiator arenas. That's right. He would burn them at the stake. He would hang them on the cross. And yet, God still had mercy. Did you know God had mercy on you as well? Because we were blasphemers at one time. That's right, we ridiculed the things of God. But God had tremendous mercy. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that He had tremendous mercy on you and for me? Let's go back to God's Word. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, Paul wrote, "Lest I should be exalted," what? "Above measure by the abundance of the revelations. God filled this man with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. But he said it best." Look at this. "A thorn in the flesh was what? Given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure." What? "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But God allowed it." Look at this. "And he said to me, my grace," say that with me at home, for those of you right now that God's allowing to go through serious situations of life, say that with me, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in" what? "Weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may" what? "Rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Praise God. Praise God. Listen, somebody needs to right now just give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. For allowing God to use us in mighty ways and also allowing us to go through trials and tribulations of life to strengthen us. So that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that the days will become brighter with God on our side. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, we don't need to understand all that God is doing. We just have to obey and watch Him work. Can I get an amen? God is always at work. Can I get an amen? Look at this for a moment. Look at this right up here. The Lord's primary purpose is to conform us, what? To the image of His Son. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says here in the Word of God. In Romans 8:29, "From whom He" what? "Foreknew, He also predestined to" what? "Be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be" the what? "Firstborn among many brethren." Praise God. Praise God. Saints, according to that scripture, this is what He predestined or predetermined for His children. Therefore, He allows whatever is necessary. What? To make this a reality in our lives. His goal is not to punish us, but to transform us to the image of His Son. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this right here in Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can" what? "Be against us." Praise God. God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So, saints, if we fight against the process of God, we're in danger of suffering all what? Pain without receiving what? Benefits that God wants you and I to achieve in our lives. However, when we yield to His sifting and sanding and shaping it, and we're on the potter's wheel, and he's cutting these things off us, it'll make you and I a beautiful representation of His Son eventually, you know, saints of God. You see, my friends, the Lord isn't looking for perfect people. I hope you know that. But those who are committed to a lifestyle of obedience and surrender and purity. That's right. That's right. That's right. Look at this for a moment, saints of God. God controls every trial. I hope you know that. God controls every trial. Praise God. Praise God. But let me just say this. He sets the limit. Why? Because His goal is to transform us. Not to necessarily hurt us. Praise God. Look what God's Word says regarding this. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is" what? Say that with me at home. "God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the same" what? "But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to" what? "Bear it." bear it. Wow, praise God, praise God, praise God, my friends. Now let's look at this next principle. He designs trials to fit us. What? That's right. Listen, your trial may not fit my trial, and my trial may not fit your trial. Matter of fact, I don't want your trial. You can keep your trial. I got my own trials. Can I get an amen? And so he knows exactly what's required. What? To get our attention and fulfill his purpose in every situation. His actions are motivated by what? By intimate knowledge of us and his personal love toward you and I. Praise God. Praise God. Look at what it says here in the book of James. Look at this. James 1, 2 through 4, the word of God says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Praise God. Praise God. But a lot of us, we're too impatient. We want to get out of something right away. Praise God. No. Allow God. Allow him to sift us like wheat, that we would be refined like gold. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at another principle right here. Look at this. He uses what? Chastisement. Praise God. That's right. Listen, I've been to the whooping shed. I don't like it there. But every time God has allowed me to go to the whooping shed, I've learned a valuable lesson. I hope you learn valuable lessons, or do you rebel even further? You see, are you like the 9-year-old? Are you like the 9-year-old kid when the father tells that boy, sit down and be still? And so the boy sits down, but in his heart, he's standing up. You see, a lot of times we get chastised by God, and he's trying to teach us something, but we're fussing and mourning, and we're squirming on the inside. Why? Because we don't like it. Listen, when you know you've done something that doesn't please God, and he's chastising you, just take it. Say, God, thank you. Thank you for it. Why? Because as a true loving father, he disciplines us in order to develop character within us. And although pain is involved, it's not given for punishment, but for training. For training. That's right. Let's look at God's word right here. Look at this. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as what? Sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges what? Every son whom he receives. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment, saints of God. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. He uses afflictions. What? That's right. He uses afflictions. And saints, these trials are not the result of sin or rebellion, but are simply trials which comes to us. Why? Because of our environment. And since we all have what? Human bodies and live in a fallen world, even godly people get sick and have accidents. I hope you know that. Listen, we're not perfect. We've been forgiven. Can I get an amen? However, each affliction is an opportunity for God to display the surpassing greatness of his power in us. Praise God. Look what God's word says right here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 9. The word of God says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Say that with me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence, look at this, of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? God doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to bless you. He wants to build you up in your most holy faith. Why? Because we live in a time right now, saints of God, a time of persecution that's coming. We're living in a perverse generation, but God hallelujah, is allowing these things to take place to strengthen us so that we will have an answer to those who would question our faith. Can I get an amen? Now, let's go to another principle. God's trials are progressive. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Listen, what does that mean? He builds character and faith in us by increasing the pressure and intensity of the adversity in our lives. What? What we couldn't endure 10 years ago, we can now handle. Why? Because our trust in God has grown. Praise God. That's right. Let's go to God's word and confirm this. Look at this. But grow. Say that with me. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and forever. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, saints of God, let me get your attention right here on the screen. Our response to trials determines the outcome. It determines the outcome. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Look at this, my friends. Look at this. In 1 Peter 1:6-9, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if indeed need be, you have been what? Grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than what? Fine gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and the glory of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, hard times and suffering come into every life. Every life. But we each have a choice regarding how to respond. And if we are committed to learning and profiting from each trial, we'll become believers who are growing in faith and becoming more and more sanctified by the Holy Spirit of promise. However, saints of God, if we refuse to submit to God's purposes, He will turn up the heat. Not because He's mean, but because He loves you and I. And He will never give up on His goal of conforming us to the image of His Son. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus is about to appear. And we're almost out of here. I hope you know that. Did you know that? Oh, that's right. That's right. Because He's coming back for His church. The purpose. And the brighter days that are ahead through Christ is to prepare us for the rapture of the church, for the snatching of the way. Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and He's coming for His bride. He has betrothed us, and we are His forevermore. That's right. How many of you can't wait? How many of you can't wait for His return for us to come and take us home? To be with them, to enjoy and celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. I can't wait. It's going to be a grand occasion. And many people who have died thousands of years ago in faith will be reunited with them. Even your loved ones that maybe have passed on recently, we will be with them forevermore. But Jesus is coming. He promised He would come back for us. And I have proof in the Scripture that He's coming for us. Look what it says. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians there in Thessalonica. In verse 13, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who what? Sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Look at verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't you so blessed, my friends, that Jesus is coming? Listen, for those of you who have never seen the documentary, it's called Before the Wrath. I truly highly recommend. It's narrated by Kevin Sorbo, the professor who played in God's Not Dead. He narrates this wonderful documentary, and here's just a little clip of what the Galileans, what the ancient Galileans had shown us thousands of years ago, and we can find it in the gospel. We can find it in the gospels that were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That the way the Galileans betrothed the bride and the bridegroom, Jesus is coming back no differently. Let's take a look at this. You're going to be just in awe that God's going to fulfill His promise to you and I. Let's go there.
The wait is over, and the groom is finally on his way to be united with his bride. As they move through the town streets, trumpets blare loudly to not only wake the bride, but also the guests that were invited to the wedding feast. Only those that were prepared could quickly rise and join the concession.
The bridegroom and his groomsmen now exit the house. They go out of the compound, begin to serpentine through the streets of the village until finally they come near the bride's house. And as the bride comes into view, what a shockingly beautiful scene it must be. There in the middle of the night, you have a row of women with the bride in the middle, all the bridesmaids dressed in their white linen robes. And in the center, the bride dressed in her beautiful bridal gown.
After a year of preparing and waiting, they are finally together again. Reunited as one forever.
The parade led by the bridegroom now rush up towards the bride and her family and all the people that are standing there, the bridesmaids, and the two men with the litter set the litter down on the ground in front of the bride. And she very, very modestly steps out onto the litter and she lowers herself down.
The bride did not simply follow her groom back to the father's house, but she was lifted into the air. In fact, the ancient Galileans referred to this moment as flying the bride to the Father's house.
She's lifted up off the ground. She's escorted with him back to that place of preparation. It speaks, it shouts all about God's grace. It's not her effort. She was just to be ready because she loves him. She's borne aloft. She's taken away with him. It's all about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God from the beginning all the way through to now to the end.
Wow. Wow, my friends. But see, in order for you and I to be whizzed away, something miraculously has to take place. And Paul further wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what must take place in order for us to be caught up to be with the Lord. You see, this flesh and blood cannot go into heaven. We are confined to gravity, by gravity on this earth. We can only jump so high and we have to come back to this earth. So something miraculously has to change. And this is what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Let's go in there. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50, the word of God says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall what? Be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. But my question is this, to those who have maybe logged in, those maybe watching for the first time who have never seen this teaching, but my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? So there's only one of two positions. You either are right with God, meaning right standing, your heart is right with God, or your heart is divided against God and you'll be left behind. He's either right with God or left to be left behind. Are you ready? Let's look at this for a moment.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
So, my friends, the question I impose upon you, are you ready? And so if you're not ready, guess what? You can be. And all you have to do is cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God to save you. Ask God to wash you in His blood, to fill you with His Spirit. And the way it's demonstrated in the Word of God, it's through a heart of repentance. We read King David, how he repented toward God. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost that had fully come, 120 were in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came in and filled each one with the Holy Spirit of promise and boldness and the anointing, and the power came upon them. And one of the first sermons ever preached was by Peter. You got to remember, Peter the Apostle, he was a scaredy cat. He ran. He ran away from God, and he denied him three times. But when the power of God came, he went down steps. He went down the stairs, and he preached. Because there were millions there on the Feast of Pentecost celebrating the feast. And they thought, and it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, and they thought the people up in that upper room were drunk, but they weren't drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's look at this for a moment. Peter wrote this. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed with that scripture? Praise God. Praise God. Listen, many of you right now, God has blessed, God has saved. But maybe, just maybe, you've logged in and you're hearing this message, or you're being reminded that God loves you, God wants to save you. Listen, we want to pray with you. That's right. I want you to cry out to God. I want to lead you into a sinner's prayer. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, if you're listening, I want you to bow your your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Somebody just got saved. Somebody right now, or maybe just renewed. Hallelujah. Their life with Christ again. And now God is putting you on that path of holiness and righteousness. And we are now heaven bound and a hell to shun. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, I'm just so excited that you've allowed me to come into your living rooms this evening. And I want to thank and praise God for Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, who has continued to lift up this ministry in prayer. And thank you for many of you who have contributed to our ministry. Listen, there's a website down below right there. If you need prayer, please get a hold of us. We want to give you a Bible. That's right. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to pray for healing. That's right. Many of you are going through right now, just like we indicated in this message. And we'd like to hear from you. And once again, I want to thank and praise God for the faithful that has truly supported this ministry. Also down below, there's a button on our website. Matter of fact, our website, go to our new website. It's being built as we speak, but it's totally been renovated by Tony Abbott. I thank and praise God for him. Some of the buttons are not yet all the way operational, but just be patient. It's almost done. But you could at least get a glimpse of it when you go to the new website now. And listen, when you get there, you can download, that's right, this PowerPoint with the videos, the Word doc. You can also download the MP3 file. And there's a link to YouTube to watch this all over again. All for you, free of charge. And we thank and praise God. Why? Because freely it was given to us, freely we give out. Praise God. Now, if you choose to support our ministry, there's a donate button on our website, and donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time for me to sign off and say goodnight. But I look forward to seeing many of you Sunday morning at 10:30. And once again, special guest Leah Miner is going to be there. And she's going to sing unto the Lord. She's singing with the worship team. And God has blessed her with a beautiful anointed voice. And she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, I want to say this Aaronic blessing. I want to pray for you and your family right now, that God will bless you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you, next Sunday. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we love you. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Good night.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2.com. amazing-grace-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.